You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. It's not about football, really, but we thought with the Lions going 0-16 and the Miami Dolphins having an extraordinary, historic NFL turnaround, they're in the playoffs after having the worst record in football only last year, that we'd talk about your favorite comebacks. The Lions need a comeback like nobody's business, so what's your favorite? Is there a personal comeback story you'd like to share with us? 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at the Takeaway. Well, a few years back, a couple of academic heavy hitters at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government made big headlines a few years back when they published the first comprehensive assessment of the ultimate cost of the Iraq War. The sobering, jaw-dropping numbers from Linda Bilmes and her collaborator Joseph Stiglitz was in excess of $1 trillion at the end of the day. Well, Bilmes and Stiglitz are back at it with a new report published in Harper's on equally jaw-dropping deficit numbers that are expected to be a terrifying financial legacy from the 8 Bush years. Linda Bilmes joins us from Cambridge, Massachusetts at the Kennedy School for Government. Linda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
As you look at the 8 years of the Bush federal deficit, what is it that you're seeing and how does it compare with deficits in the past, even extreme ones?
It really is a staggering figure, John. Our national debt has risen from $5.7 trillion when President Bush took office to $10.7 trillion now. And it is going up even as we speak. If you count any of the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac additional debt we've taken on, it's well over $11 trillion, which means that we have amassed more debt during the Bush administration than we did in all of the previous 42 presidents combined.
Wow.
Again, that sounds really depressing and awful, but how does the aggregate federal deficit manifest itself in terms of consumers? I mean, you've done some calculations and that, you know, I owe $9,000, all my kids owe $9,000 to somebody. How does that manifest itself on the U.S. economy?
First of all, in terms of our annual money that we spend, the annual budget, we have to pay interest on the debt that we owe. Considering that we already are spending about two-thirds of our budget on fixed costs like Social Security and Medicare and federal employees' pensions and veterans' benefits and other fixed costs, there isn't that much remaining for spending on discretionary items such as air traffic control and roads and highways and education and health research and education and so forth, and the military. There isn't that much. And essentially, we are crowding out spending on the things we really need because we have to pay so much interest on all of this borrowing.
And is this a consequence that the Bush administration dealt with during its tenure, or is it something that is going to handcuff the Obama administration as it attempts to look at some of these very issues you just named?
Well, the Bush administration made what I consider a series of really profound errors, which have led to this situation. First of all, they led two rounds of massive and very inequitable tax cuts. Secondly, they not only went into Iraq and spent nearly $1 trillion now, but they borrowed all of the money to go into Iraq. Third of all, they led a massive buildup in defense spending in things which have not benefited us at all, even in the wars we're involved in. For example, $80 billion on F-22 bombers, which have not flown a single sortie in Afghanistan or Iraq. And finally, they embarked on a number of very expensive, unnecessarily expensive new programs, such as the prescription drug benefit, which, while it may be a good thing, is far more expensive than it needs to be because we are not allowed to negotiate with drug companies to get a good deal on the medicines.
Of course, the really depressing thing is you're not even including all of the bailout stuff that's been the headlines for the last 6 months.
Right, not even including the bailout things, but just including things which are directly attributable to decisions that the Bush team made. And that alone has got us into a situation where we now our national debt has doubled. So when you think about how this constrains the Obama administration, we are now in a situation where we are facing the worst economic conditions, partly as a result of these poor decisions during the Bush administration, where we are facing this very deep economic challenge. And in order to get out of that, we have to spend an additional large sum of money to stimulate the economy. So Obama is in a, you know, between a rock and a hard place because he has to spend a significant amount of money and to go into even more debt in order for the economy to avoid going into a depression. And clearly, the objective of Keynesian economics is not to be spending huge amounts and racking up huge amounts of debt when times are good, which is what we've been doing. He's now forced to add to this debt.
So you're really suggesting that the Obama administration is going to have no wiggle room when you consider the costs of the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, as well as the hundreds of billions of dollars that is being talked about now to help stimulate the economy.
I mean, that's right, Eudora. I think that there is really a reduction in wiggle room. That's a key phrase, because we know that the costs of the Iraq and Afghanistan situation are not going to go down. In Iraq, one of the major findings of our research was that the costs of the war go on for a long, long time, for many, many decades. The cost of replenishing the military equipment, paying veterans medical care and veterans disability compensation, and paying interest on the money we've borrowed, that means that we will be paying trillions of dollars for decades, even if we draw down our troops.
Well, Linda, right across campus there at the Harvard Business School, there are a lot of economists who are saying now is not the time to worry about the deficit. What is the one key statistic that suggests to you that the deficit is really important in this time of a downturn before we go?
Well, the annual deficit, as opposed to the long-term debt, we can't worry about that. I mean, to sort of call worry, you know, we can't run economic policy, which is for the long-term security of the economy, by worrying about this year's deficit. So the result of that is that this year's deficit, which means the difference between how much tax revenue we have coming in and how much we spend, we are going to have a deficit of probably $1 trillion, maybe more. Well, we've never had a deficit like this. But there is no way to avoid that problem. But I think that the issue is that over the long term, eventually we will have to pay this debt back, and so, we have to pay it back with interest.
Ugly. Linda Bilmes, lecturer in public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Thanks for joining us and telling us all about our $1 trillion deficit. Femi Okeke now has the headlines. I'm going to think about that while you're telling us all the good news in the world, Femi.
I'll do my best. 28 minutes past the hour. Good morning.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.